Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another edition of the Draft Digest, brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible here on All Access Football Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione, and with me is Mr. Justin Van Fulpen. Hey, Justin, what's up?
Hey, it's good to be back, man.
Yeah, it's good to be back. You know, we haven't done that much last couple weeks, but as the bowl season kicks in, we're going to be kicking into high gear, going from the college bowls right into the all-star games and into the entire draft process. And let's start with someone who won't be in the draft process, much to many people's surprise, and that's quarterback Jake Locker made big news this week with his decision to return to Washington for a senior season. What's your take on his decision to stay in school?
Well, I mean, obviously, it was good for Washington, bad for the 2010 NFL draft. I mean, he was a guy who was probably going to be, you know, a top five pick, maybe the number one overall pick, depending on what team, you know, finally ends up getting there. You know, if St. Louis got there, I think they were thinking about taking him number one overall. Obviously, he's got all the talent, the skill in the world. He's a very good athlete. I think that's his number one asset. He's a great, you know, athlete. And he's working as far as his quarterback skills. Now, down the road, will he be better because of coming back to Washington? I think so. I think, you know, as far as he'll be more prepared for the, you know, 2011 season, because we'll have another year of, you know, playing college football and playing as far as in a pro-style offense there in Washington. So I think overall it was a good decision. Obviously, we'd love to see him in the draft. I think, you know, as far as guys that cover the draft want to see as many great, outstanding players to be able to break down as possible, and that's one, you know, outstanding junior that we won't be able to break down this season.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think an extra year in college will definitely do him wonders. We know a lot of coaches really believe strongly in having that senior quarterback, having more as much experience as he can possibly have, and I can't argue with that point. You know, we've seen juniors struggle when they've decided to leave, and I think the fact that his first 2 years, you know, before this season, he really wasn't in a pro-style offense. He was really a better runner than he was a passer. So as talented as he is, I think he's still pretty raw in that extra year will do him well down the road. But at the same time, he could end up being one of the only guys ever who could come back to school, be the number one overall pick in 2011, and lose money.
Yeah, I mean, if you got the CBA and things change, obviously there's, you know, Flores could lose a lot of money, as well as we saw guys like Matt Leiner, who, you know, came back for his senior season and, you know, dropped down to the 10th overall pick when a lot of people thought he would have been the number one overall pick, you know, that year prior. So we've seen it backfire, and we saw it backfire where Sam Bradford got hurt, you know, as far as and lost a ton of money. So, you know, I think for him personally, if I was advising him and saying, hey, I would say, hey, go out there and do it, because get the money. We know it's guaranteed. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We know that you'd probably be the number one overall pick, and with the money that, you know, Matthew Stafford, it's only going to go up. It's probably going to be, you know, as far as somewhere in the $52-53 million, you know, total package deal for this year's number one overall pick. And in 2011, we don't know. You know, we don't know if it's going to be, you know, $20 million, or, you know, we don't know what the CBA is going to entail there.
Yeah, exactly. But we know, I mean, if you just look at the NBA, the salary structure, the way it went down tremendously. I mean, you know, back in the day, we had Glenn Robinson getting a $100 million contract where the owner said, I think, something to the effect of, hey, why don't you give me $100 million and you can own the team. You know what I mean? And now they're not getting nearly that kind of money, even if you're the first overall pick. So it could be a significant decrease in salary. I can't knock the kid going back to school if that's what he wants to do, and that's his decision. And long-term wise, another year under Sarkisian before he steps into the NFL could turn out to be the best thing for his long-term success, but it'll be interesting to see how it works out. As you mentioned, there's guys whose stock fell. Also, you got to factor in who he's competing against. Right now, it looks like the top two guys are Bradford, who, you know, is coming off a season where he barely played and is injury prone, and you got Jimmy Clausen. Next year, potentially it could be, you know, Ryan Mallett and Jevon Smith coming off great seasons. So the competition actually could even be tougher next year for Locker in terms of being the top quarterback.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think as far as Ryan Mallett, the guy was probably, you know, come out and
Snead will be a senior. And there's a lot of praise of Snead being the number one overall quarterback when we started this whole process. And he obviously didn't live up to that, but he could really rebound and really push Jake Locker. So it's definitely, you know, it's the roll of the dice. But, you know, he's got to do what he feels is best and what he wants to do. I mean, if he wants to go back to, you know, Washington, more power to him. We know he's been drafted in the Major League Baseball. So, you know, does he like that sport more? I mean, there's a lot of different factors in this decision for Jake Locker.
That's true. It'll be interesting to see if he pulls an Elway and uses that for leverage down the road as well, and if he's not happy with where he gets drafted. All right, now let's talk about the guys who have declared and have decided to go to school and stay with the quarterback position. I just brought him up, Jimmy Clausen out of Notre Dame. What do you think of his decision to declare? And you know, how much do you think the Charlie Weiss firing influenced this, or do you think he was going either way?
You know, I think he was probably leaning, you know, to enter the NFL draft either way. But I think, of course, once Charlie Weiss was fired, I think that kind of pushed him over the edge. I mean, Charlie Weiss brought him in, you know, and they would have had a lot of guys returning with, you know, Jimmy Clausen, Golden Tate, Malcolm Floyd. I mean, that offense would have been set. Now with, you know, he didn't know who was going to be the coach, and obviously Brian Kelly comes in, and you know, so I think that a lot of those different factors. But I think obviously he was going to be a first round, you know, pick, you know, and decided, hey, you know, let me get the money now, because who knows what's going to happen. He saw what happened with Sam Bradford. So will he be the number one overall pick? I think there's a possibility. You know, some people, you know, don't think he's to that level, but obviously we always see quarterbacks get pushed up, and you know, and teams say, hey, I need that franchise quarterback. And we obviously know that St. Louis would have looked at Jake Locker, so do they look at Jimmy Clausen? We know Washington wasn't happy with, you know, Jason Campbell, so do they look at Jimmy Clausen or Sam Bradford? So we know those two teams are looking at quarterbacks, and obviously, you know, one could draft, you know, Jimmy Clausen, and it could be a great move for him.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in my opinion, he's not a top 10 pick, but, you know, we like to say, especially when me and Rick talk, Rick Saratella, the founder of the NFL Draft Bible, you know, all it takes is one GM to fall in love with you. You don't have to have a consensus. You just need one guy in the top 10 to think you're worthy of the top 10 pick to get drafted that high. And typically, you know, let's be honest, quarterbacks usually get drafted higher than they deserve to in terms of slotting because of the significance of that position. Staying at Notre Dame, Golden Tate, I think, you know, when you couple Weiss leaving with Clausen leaving, it made so much more sense for Tate to declare and move on to the NFL off his spectacular season winning the Biletnikoff Award.
Well, I can agree with you more. I mean, what was he else going to do? I mean, he's a small wide receiver. You know, he doesn't know who his quarterback's going to be. You know, doesn't know who his coach is going to be. So, hey, let me go out here, declare. I'm probably a second-round pick, you know, second, third-round pick. If I come back from my senior season, I'm probably going to be that. You know, so I he can't improve his stock anymore for, you know, going back to Notre Dame. So I think it was a good move for Golden Tate and probably a second-round pick when it's all said and done.
Yeah, he can improve his stock in the combine. But like you said, the question marks that people might have about him in terms of his lack of height, what exactly is his 40 time? Is he closer to 4.4 or closer to 4.5? He wouldn't answer that with another year in South Bend. And let's say at that position, he's not the only wide receiver to, you know, jump into the 2010 NFL draft. We also have Desmond Briscoe from Kansas, as well as Aurelius Ben from Illinois. Did those guys both make the right decision as well?
Well, I think they did because, I mean, you know, they weren't going to improve their stock anymore by going back. I mean, obviously Ben didn't have a great junior season and could have come back, but didn't know who the quarterback was. You know, kind of the Illinois programs kind of dipped, you know, last season. Going to the Rose Bowl a couple seasons ago. So I think Ben and, you know, Desmond Briscoe kind of made the right decision. Both of them will be, you know, guys that are pushing in that first round, you know, second round pick type, you know, level. So I think it's a good decision for them. I think really Ben's probably going to be a first-round pick, and Briscoe's probably a late first, early second type guy.
Yeah, and with Briscoe, similar situation. You know, the quarterback was a senior. I'm not sure the exact timing. It was around the same time when we learned Mangino probably wouldn't be back as Briscoe would declare, but, you know, the writing was kind of on the wall that Mangino had at least one foot out the door, if not more. in terms of Briscoe making his decision, leaving Lawrence. As for Ben, Justin, I think this is such an interesting case. I mean, isn't this just an example of how really, you know, people bring up the stats and their college numbers, but if he's a first-round pick, and I'm not saying he shouldn't be, but if he is, doesn't it show how really irrelevant those stats are when it comes to the NFL and the scouting and their thoughts on these prospects?
Oh, definitely. I think when you look at, especially receivers, depending on what system they are, when you look at him, he's a big physical type guy, and he was, you know, as far as he had Juice Williams as a quarterback who's regressed, you know, over his junior and senior season, hasn't played the level that they thought he would be. So, yeah, you don't have to catch 70, 80 balls and 4,000 yards and stuff like that to be a first-round pick. You got to be a guy who's consistent and who's a great athlete, and that's one of the positions. I think stats really don't matter when you're trying to translate them to the next level.
Yeah, because, I mean, out of the guys that are thinking about declaring or have declared, I don't think anyone had a more disappointing statistical season. As you mentioned, it's not just about him. It's not all on him. But still, you know, he had a very disappointing year for a guy that many people have pegged as a preseason All-American, at the very least, first-team All-Big Ten guy, and he just didn't have that kind of year, yet he's leaving anyway. And like you said, you know, maybe had the quarterback situation been different, had the overall feel of the program been different, maybe he would have returned, but I definitely understand why he decided to go. Now let's talk about some of these seniors, particularly the Heisman guys, and where they might go. Interestingly, you know, that's our poll question this week on NFLDraftBible.com. So log on and vote. Go to NFLDraftBible.com right now, and you can vote on what round will Toby Gerhart be selected. So far, the leader in this poll is second round with over 40%, followed by third round. Third place is first round. And then in the rear, we have, you know, less than 10% of the people think he'll be drafted in the fourth round or later. So what's your take on where Gerhart, the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy, will go in the 2010 draft?
Yeah, I think right now when you're looking at him, he's probably in that third round, you know, maybe sneaks into the late second. You know, I think the biggest thing is what's his 40 time going to be? Where, you know, when we get to finally get a 40 time on him, where is he going to be? And that's really the important, you know, kind of ability there for a running back, you know, in that those skill positions, because when you're talking about slotting the, you know, that running back position, and we had it about 3-4 years ago when Cedric Benson, you know, Calec Williams and Ronnie Brown all were in that group, and then Ronnie Brown obviously, you know, jumped ahead of the class, great 40 there at the combine, and that's where you look at Gerhart. You know, he's in a group of those, you know, in that second tier type running backs, you know, and say, where's his 40 going to be? Is it going to be a 4-6 guy? Then, hey, he's third, you know, third, fourth round. If he's a, you know, a 4-4 guy, then, yeah, he's a second round type guy. So I like him. I think he's a big back, you know. Obviously, we don't see a lot of white running backs in the NFL, and that's been a topic of conversation, you know, around him. You know, they've done some different columns on that. That, yeah, I think that's irrelevant. But, you know, I think let's see his 40 time, and, you know, we'll see where he ends up getting drafted. But I think it's probably going to be in that late second, early third.
Yeah, we got a chance, you know, to speak with Toby, particularly Ralph Mancini, at the Heisman Trophy on Saturday. And, you know, he did, reiterate that football is his passion. He said football is the one that's in my heart the most in terms of, which sport he'd be likely to play. Like Locker, he's also a baseball star in the Pac-10, but he's leaning towards football. And he also brought up, you know, the fact of being a big back, and how big backs can wear down after a while. And when he was asked what he'd like to improve on the most, he said, my second level moves, just making second level people miss, like DBs and safety, so I can take it the full distance. You know, I think he understands what part of the game people are picking apart. But I agree with you, Justin. I think third round is most likely where this kid is going to fall. But, you know, potentially if he does run well, he could improve his stock. And he's definitely a guy that I think could be a very good complementary back to a team that has a smaller, speedy back. You know, he could be that thunder to somebody else's lightning. Now, how about a couple of the other guys? I mean, you know, we out of the five finalists, we take out Ingram because he's a true sophomore, so he's not eligible at all for this draft. we take out Mr. Ndamukong Suh because basically what are you going to tell me? Either a number one overall or number two overall, right?
That's right.
Yeah, there's not a lot of mystery there with him. So how about the quarterbacks? I mean, the Tim Tebow, Colt McCoy, you get a lot of wide-varying opinions on these two kids where they may go. I heard somebody talk about McCoy today almost as if he was a lock to be a first-round pick. So let's start with him. What round do you see McCoy going?
Well, you know, as far as talking with different NFL scouts and guys I know in the league, I mean, what they've said is probably more of a second-round type guy. I mean, he's going to have to show a lot if he does go to the Senior Bowl as well as at the NFL Combine to kind of get himself in the first round. But I think, you know, he's a guy who's probably a second-round type guy and who could, you know, I think one thing they have an issue with is his arm strength and really want him to get into the weight room and say, hey, if this guy could come, you know, go to a team and sit, you know, let's say Brett Favre goes and plays another season. And McCoy gets drafted in the second round by Minnesota. He sits behind Favre for a year, works out, gets stronger. Then you really see him, you know, kind of be a star. I mean, I think that would be optimal for Colt McCoy. And I think he'll probably end up being a second round pick because people aren't really sold on him as a true franchise quarterback. And when you're looking at true franchise quarterbacks, those are the guys who are put in the first round. Those are the guys like last year when we had three guys drafted in the first round that everybody thought, hey, these guys are franchise quarterbacks. And McCoy, no one's told me that they think he's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I think second round is likely where he would go. I probably wouldn't take him myself in the second round. I spoke to a former Longhorn, Steve McMichael, the defensive tackle who played on the Super Bowl Bears team at the Hall of Fame induction last week, which was in New York as well. Brought by the National Football Foundation, and he talked about that a little bit too, kind of bulking up and getting a little bigger. This is my question, though, Justin. I mean, from what I remember, McCoy was really, really, really small as a freshman, as a redshirt freshman when he first came on the scene. I think he's put on a decent amount of size, weight, strength during his 4 years at Texas. I'm not sure he can really put on that much more. I mean, maybe you could have done that a lot more 10 years ago when schools maybe weren't as sophisticated as they are today, and you could bring a guy in the NFL and put on some weight. I think he's put on some weight already. I'm just curious. I'm not sure if he's a guy that has that big frame to really add on much more.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much more the weight. He's just got to get stronger, you know, and he's got to really get into that weight room and really get that upper body. I think that's where he really lacks the strength, is that upper body strength. I think he's got to get in there and get stronger. You know, I don't think maybe 8 pounds he could probably add, but like I agree with you, I don't think he's got the frame to add, you know, 15 pounds, but I think he's got to get just stronger because his arm isn't to where you really want it as a franchise type quarterback.
All right, then the other guy is Mr. Tim Tebow, and what round could he go in? Interestingly, at the Heisman, you know, I had some people say, of course he's a quarterback. You know, I talked to other guys, Joe Schad from ESPN, Len Robbins from the New York Post, both thought he would play another position in the NFL, not counting the Wildcat potential, but not being a pure quarterback. We've talked about him before, but what round do you think Tebow would fall in if we had a Tebow poll?
You know, I think, that's a tough question. I think right now I'm leaning to more third. Back a couple weeks ago, you know, I said, hey, he's probably a second-round guy. And I think I'm going to battle, you know, through that the next, you know, couple months of where Tim Tebow is going to get, you know, end up slotting. But I think right now, today, I think he's a third-round pick. And in talking with some NFL scouts, that's where when the final grades have come out on seniors, that's where Tim Tebow has fell, is probably a third-round pick. And, you know, some teams are thinking, hey, you could play quarterback something, saying H-back some, or saying, hey, that Wildcat-type Pat White. And obviously he could get overdrafted, but I think his grade is value as a third-round pick.
Yeah, I could see that very well. And we talked about this before. He's a guy that could help his stock if he played really well in the SEC championship game, won that, played really well in the national championship game. Well, he didn't play really well in the SEC championship game, so he might have actually hurt his stock in that performance against a top-notch defense. And, you know, that's the thing with Tebow and even McCoy, too. You know, you look at the tape from the two games he played a top-notch defense, Oklahoma, Nebraska, he was not impressive at all. You know, he did not play well in either one of those two games, even though Texas ultimately won the game. Unlike Tebow, and I was not impressed at all with Tebow's performance. You know, I've heard people say he's got a good arm. He does not have a good arm. He throws a lot of the lolly top passes, in my opinion, and I will be stunned if he's a starting NFL quarterback. All right, let's round out and close out this Heisman talk. I'm just curious who you would have voted. My top five would have been Ndamukong Suh, number one, Toby Gerhart, number two, Mark Ingram, who won it, number three, with C.J. Spiller, four, and Kellen Moore from Boise State, five, two guys who were not invited. Who would have gotten your Heisman vote?
You know, I think, you know, it's either Ndamukong Suh and Ingram, and I think I would have probably led to, you know, Suh, you know, getting that just because of the dominant force that he showed throughout the year, and especially in that Big 12 championship game. You know, he dominated that game from start to finish, and I think if you really look at it, what that Heisman Trophy winner, you know, supposed to be is the best individual player. Not the best individual player on the best team, the best individual player of college football, and that was Ndamukong Suh, hands down, from Nebraska this season.
Yeah, and not just the best individual player who either throws the ball or gets the ball handed to him either. I mean, it seems to be almost purely an offensive skilled player, and hopefully the voters will kind of open up. You know, Suh said himself when I talked to him afterwards, he really didn't expect to win. And just curious, too, you know, Suh and Gerhart were both kind of noncommittal in terms of whether they were going to play in an all-star game. They've received their invites, as I'm sure Tebow and McCoy have. My take is McCoy, Tebow, and Gerhart need to go to a Senior Bowl if that's where they're invited and improve. I would be stunned if Suh went to a bowl. There's nothing to be gained from him there.
No, I agree with you, and I think there's a little question mark with Toby Gerhart and the All-Star games. What I'm hearing is because he does have an extra year of eligibility, would they allow him to be in that game? So with some, there's some still question marks, and not just today, they're still trying to figure out what, you know, can he play, you know, is he eligible, will the NFL scouts allow him to do that? So, you know, stay tuned on that Toby Gerhart as far as All-Star game.
All right, yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Now, Justin, as I mentioned, off the air, you know, it's time to get some football games back going here. You know, I need my college fix. So kicking it off is going to be on the 19th, this Saturday, Fresno State against Wyoming. We have Fresno with the two running backs, Junior Ryan Matthews, who we're still not sure if 100% if he's going to play or not, coming off a concussion. And then we also have Lonnie Miller, the senior running back. Two guys that definitely have a chance to get drafted. Matthews definitely higher if he decides to declare as a junior.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Matthews is a guy who's probably more of a second-round pick if he does declare. I think he's got the ability to be kind of like a Matt Forte was a couple years ago. Obviously, he's had a down season this year, but his rookie season, he was that, you know, that's where I kind of look at Matthews. And Miller, more of a power back, more of a guy who, you know, would need to be more of in a tandem, probably a sixth, seventh round type pick there. One guy there I think to keep your eye on there in Fresno State that I, you know, have to talk with some scouts is A.J. Jefferson, the cornerback there. You know, some talking is that he's you know, has talent to be a second, third type round pick. You know, some scouts think he's got, you know, attitudes and work ethic problems, but if he can correct those, probably end up being a fourth, fifth round pick, and has got an invite to the Texas First Nation game. He's a guy whose stock is rising and really improve his stock if he has a good game this Saturday.
So a couple of sleepers there from Fresno to keep an eye on. They have a decent wide receiver as well, and then Ryan Matthews will be interested to see what he ends up doing and you know, if he's able to do much in his bowl, and then his decision in terms of will he come back or won't he. On the other side, Wyoming, you have a pretty young team, you know, first-year head coach in Christensen, the former offensive coordinator of Missouri. Out of the seniors, they really have just one guy, I think, that may get drafted. You know, he's got a lot to get drafted, but he's in the mix, and that's John Fletcher, their defensive end, big kid. What do you think of his chances and of getting drafted?
Yeah, I think he's got a guy, you know, chance. He's probably a 6'7" type round guy, big kid. He's a guy who I think would fit best in a 3-4 defense as a defensive end because of his ability to, you know, play the run and be kind of that guy. You know, he's kind of in that mold of what teams that run that 3-4 defense look for. And I think, you know, he's a guy who's probably going to get, you know, if he does get drafted, it's probably going to be late 7th round type thing. But a guy who will, you know, get a shot at the next level, that's for sure.
Yeah, they need big guys in the NFL, that's for sure. And depth along that defensive line is very important. So he's somebody that could bring that to an NFL team. Later that night, the St. Petersburg, we have Rutgers Scarlet Knights against the University of Central Florida Knights. We talked about Jefferson, the corner from Fresno. Another corner I think that people might be sleeping on is Mr. Devin McCourty out of Rutgers, who's also a special teams dynamo. What are your thoughts on Mr. McCourty?
I mean, McCourty's a guy, you know, obviously his twin brother's in the NFL right now, and he could, you know, he's definitely going to be there next year. I think a guy who's kind of moving up the cornerbacks, you know, slot. Right now, he's talking with teams. He's probably a third-round pick, and I think that fits where his ability to. He's a guy who's a good physical type corner. We've seen him on, you know, Thursday Night Football. You know, we've seen him make a lot of plays on special teams as well as on defense. He's a guy who I like is his ability to play at that next level. I think he's going to be very successful in the NFL.
And the biggest prospect there from Rutgers is the junior left tackle, Anthony Davis. Could this be his last game as a collegian?
I think so. I think he's probably going to declare, you know, go for to the NFL early. Is a probably a lot to be, you know, in the 20s type, you know, in the first round. And I think 24, 25, something around there. In my latest mock, I've got him going to Pittsburgh. Obviously, Pittsburgh needs a bunch of help on that offensive line, and I think he'd be a good fit there with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, and then the other side of the ball, Central Florida. They have a couple of defensive guys that may hear their name called draft weekend that, you know, the common fan probably isn't too familiar with. Tell us about those guys.
Well, you got you know, Terrence Troop there, that defensive tackle. He is, you know, probably one of the better, you know, players there that you might not have heard about. You know, in that fourth, fifth type round there, you know, a guy who could play in the 4-3 defense as a defensive tackle, good type run stopper, and then you got the offense, the outside linebacker. Jarvis Gathers, another guy who was in that mix of probably, you know, now it's third day guys, you know, in that, you know, fifth, sixth type round there. Another good player as far as that, you know, when you talk about defensive players that we haven't heard a lot about, we haven't talked a lot about, but we'd be a productive player at the next level.
Yeah, he's kind of a tweener guy. They also have a junior end that has been putting up a lot of sack numbers. So this defense is pretty good from Central Florida. Be interesting to see how they do faring up against a Big East school. December 22nd, we have the Las Vegas Bowl, which pits Oregon State against BYU. You know, we talked a lot about these guys, Dennis Pitta, Max Hall. Last chance to give an impression. What are your thoughts on those two? You know me, I'm not the biggest Max Hall fan right now. I think he's just fighting to get a draftable grade.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the problem is he's not that big. I mean, he's probably going to measure in about a 6-foot guy. Doesn't have the greatest of arm strength. Has been a very good quarterback there for BYU, but at the next level, probably is more of an undrafted rookie free agent. Pita, you know, is a guy who I like as a tight end. Is, you know, in the top 10 as far as senior tight ends that I've got rated. And it's probably a 4th, 5th type round draft pick. But two guys that, you know, Hall will get his shot. I don't think he'll. If he makes, it's probably a third-string quarterback, you know, practice squad type guy. You know, so he's got to do a lot to improve his stock over the next couple months. Danny, still there? I don't know if we're still there. We're still in the air, but I'll go with Sean Canfield, the Oregon State's quarterback who's really moved up the draft stock since he started his career. Really a guy who's done well over his senior season. He's put himself in that, you know, selection to get selected probably in the 4th round. And you've got Stephen Piea, the defensive tackle there, the junior, who could declare early, who I think will declare early. Second-round type guy, player who's played well. And then James Rogers, the wide receiver, won't declare, but a good guy to watch for next year's draft. Don't look like Dan's still on the air, so I'll finish up here the show tonight here with the Poinsettia Bowl. You got Utah and Cal. You got Thompson, the cornerback, Javid Best, who is not playing, but a guy who could declare early as a junior and be a late first-round pick, in my opinion. And you got Robert Johnson, the safety from Utah, who I'm really high on as a guy who could be a really good player at the next level. He's going to the Texas First Nation game and could be a guy who could really move up the draft process here there. And then the outside linebacker, Stevenson Sylvester, another good guy who's kind of slipped. He's the opposite of Robert Johnson, a guy who's, you know, hasn't made, you know, that ability to really move up the draft board. So obviously, we've got a lot of bowl games, you know, coming up here. We've got some more, you know, next week, and obviously we'll have a good, you know, chance talking about those All-Star games as well. And so we will talk to you next week. So for Dan, and this is Justin, and you've been listening to Draft Digest.